So, because we have this healing focus on this conference and that, we're just going to make a special deal. These two books, my book, Divine Healing, A Key to the Growth of the Christian Church, and Healing and Holy Communion, those two books can be available for $20. So that's just a special little deal for you. Our books are well priced. They're not overly dear or anything like that. But this message does need to get out. We need to be challenged from the scriptures of what this theme of divine healing. It's not a theme, really. It's a lifestyle. It should be the norm for us. And I have been just reading through, because in this book, which has been, I've been privileged to write 32 books, this book has been the most difficult in the sense that I had spiritual opposition all the way. And it's like, you know, the enemy does not want the truth of divine healing to be captured by the church. Because as we study the scriptures, and I've been challenged as I go through the scriptures, again, there is no doubt from the biblical perspective that divine healing is part of the norm of Christianity. It's God's will for people to be healed. But Jesus didn't only come and tell us that. He demonstrated that, but he trained his disciples to do the same things. And he left us with a commission to go into all the world, to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, and so on. The supernatural impact of the gospel is really what earns our right to be heard. The supernatural gospel gives us the right to speak the truth of the gospel into people's hearts and lives, and those two things put together bring about conversion of souls. Amen? And so, if you're like me, you've come to this conference that we really do long to see some breakthroughs in this area. As I look back now over 48 years of Christian ministry, all the highlights of my ministry when it comes to seeing people healed and so on, I've been fortunate and blessed to see one person raised from the dead. And that wasn't myself. I shared it as a testimony one time, and a pastor who shall remain nameless just wrote back to me and said, "Do it again." And it's a challenge, isn't it? But all of the most significant miraculous healing happenings that I have seen in my ministry and in my life over all these years have all come as a direct of God saying to do something, of a word of knowledge. Do this, say that. And as a result of obeying that word, something's happened that has released the miracle of healing and that to take place. And because Gospel Faith Messenger has been in the last 13 years called to minister the prophetic ministry, releasing people in spiritual gifts, all around the world we've seen thousands of people released into spiritual gifts for the first time in their lives. The gifts of healings are one of those gifts. They're a vital part of the Holy Spirit ministry. And the angle that I come from at this conference is quite a simple approach that the Holy Spirit has come to live inside of us. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are in the Holy Spirit, who is inside of us. And we have the challenge to stir up those gifts in our lives to make ourselves available for whatever God wants to say and wants us to do. One of the principles that I have learned in recent years has been that when God speaks to me, I have to respond with a positive, practical action. I have to do something. I can't just pray about it. Because in that sense, prayer can be a cop-out. We pray until the conviction goes away. Because sometimes what the Holy Spirit says seems ridiculous to the natural or the logical mindset. And so we have this challenge of needing to listen to what God is saying to us. You see, as I understand New Covenant Christianity, it's all about relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about listening to what he wants us to say and what he wants us to do. That's what friendship relationship is all about. It's not me just talking to God and expecting him to answer my prayers, but we're in a partnership where God in us wants us to have the joy of being workers together with him and accomplishing things that are just outside of our realm of possibility. Okay? And so one of the challenges this subject brings to us is, are we really hearing God? Secondly, as Christians, do we really believe the Bible? Because if we do, then divine healing is a part of our Christian life. And Jesus has given us power and authority to heal the sick. That's the challenge. Not just simply us asking God, oh Lord, if it be your will you heal this person? Well, I can tell you now that doesn't get prayers answered. Those prayers don't get answered by God. Because we're not praying in accordance to what we know is the revealed will and word of God. Okay? God wants us to be whole. Body, soul, and spirit. God wants us to enjoy life and life more abundantly. And it's not very easy to enjoy abundant life when you're sick. Especially men when we're sick, you know. All right. You're entitled to your opinions, but keep them to yourself. So the challenge for us at this time together is, God really give us a greater revelation, an understanding of his heart to use us, not just John, Rodney, the pastors and that are here, but every believer has a mandate that we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And when you see in the book of Acts how the early church functioned, they weren't going around asking God to heal people. They were stepping out with an authority, such as we have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. You know? And they did. And as a result, people gathered to see these healings and so on. We have to learn to be sensitive to how the voice of God comes to us. Remember one time in Wales, we were running a school over there, and before a meeting started, one of the sessions started, three different people came to me and said, I believe God spoke to me that crippled lady over there, God wants to heal her tonight. Now, I never got the word. Three other people did. Now, I've got the decision. Do I listen to these people? Are they credible voices? You know, are they just trying to put me on the spot? What? I listened to those three voices, and first thing I recognized, those three people didn't know each other. They came independently, and they all said they believed that this God wanted to heal this crippled lady. She was all bent over with a stick. And so I followed through with that. I decided to do something with it. So when the session started, I just made the announcement that there are three different people that have come to me with words of knowledge that Elaine, this lady's name was to God wanted to heal her that night. And so I invited those three people to come out and join me and asked Elaine if she'd like to be prayed for, which she really did. And she comes out with a stick. Oops, I'm just about over the line. Comes out with a stick all bent over like this. I mean, she was only 30-something years old. And so we gathered around and we prayed because we chose to believe that these three people had heard from God. And so when we prayed in the name of Jesus and commanded healing, we just stepped back and we just watched Elaine. She stood up straight. She looked around. She threw her walking stick away. And at that point, I did something I've never done in my life before or since. It was just an instant. What do you call that? Anyway. And I rushed up to Eli and I grabbed her. We were dancing all around the front of the church. And it was, I mean, there's 200 to 300 people in this meeting. And everybody witnessed a tremendous healing of this lady. Now, the interesting thing is, because we don't know what's going on the other side often until after the miracle happens. The very next day, Elaine and her husband were going away on holiday, and they'd been praying for weeks that God, they were going to stay with an atheistic brother, and been praying that God would give them an opportunity to witness to the brother. Can you imagine what went on in that home on holiday when Elaine walked in normal? Hi, brother. I mean, he'd known her as a crippled sister. But it didn't stop there. 3 weeks later, when she came back from holiday, on the Sunday morning, she walked into church, which was now 400 plus people. And most of the church people, because in the school we were doing, people were coming from all around South Wales. Most of the church people had not seen Elaine since she'd been healed. And when she just walked into church normally, like everybody else that day, I tell you, that was a sight to behold. People wept, people laughed, people rejoiced, because they saw the evidence of this young lady walking normal, just like you and I often take for granted. You know, the power of the Lord. And I'm telling you that story today because I didn't get the word, but three other people did. And I'm sure, you know, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So I acted upon that. You see, the thing about this kind of ministry is none of us know what God is going to say to us next. You don't know that the next time that God speaks to you may be the key to totally unlock someone else's future and your own in the process. Because you and I cannot obey God without getting the blessing of obedience back to us. You see, God wants to touch us. God wants to heal us, and he wants to bless us. Here's another testimony just walked. Come and see me, Auntie Fata. This is punishment for... Welcome, Auntie Fata from Rotorua, people. What happened to you 45 years ago?
I met Rodney Francis at Rutahuna.
Where is Rutahuna?
Well, over there.
Oh, over here.
Over there in the bush somewhere.
And what happened?
I was smoking at the time and I asked you to pray for me. And the smoke went instantly.
She's been aflame ever since. God bless you. Thank you. And welcome. Another thing that I've discovered about the healing ministry is that you do not always see instant results. But that doesn't mean that God hasn't done something. I was thinking this morning when on one of my early trips to Fiji, I was asked to pray for a badly affected asthmatic boy. John Das's son, Anil. You know, I never found out that he was healed then till 30 years later. Nobody told me. because there was no way of seeing the evidence of that when we prayed that night. But he has never had an asthmatic attack since, and today he's a ministry in America. You see, so it's just because you don't see something happen visibly when you pray doesn't mean to say that things are not happening. Okay? The challenge for us, and I'm sure John is going to walk us through a journey with this healing ministry, but the challenge for us is, folks, are we convinced that divine healing is part of God's mandate for our personal ministry as Christians in our sick society today? I mean, we're not short of candidates, are we? Everywhere we look, there are sick and diseased people, and it's getting worse in spite of the billions of dollars that have been spent to try and find a better way of living for humanity. It is not beating the demands. And so you and I have a better way to be able to step out of our boat, as it were, and to know that the Christ who we serve lives within us, that he has invested in us power and authority so that we can speak the word of faith, the word of command, we can lay hands on the sick, whatever way God is speaking you to say and do. We need to recognize the voice of God as it comes. On another time when I was in Fiji at the big Assembly of God church in Nasuri, some of you have heard this story, but I'm just laying a foundation here to help you to see where I'm coming from, because the things that I've experienced have come because God said to do something that was different. And while the service was going on, there's 900 people in this meeting. And while the service is going on, there's a commotion out the back. And the next thing, four big Fijian men bring in this most sickly guy. I mean, he was as white as I'm white. That means he was sick for a Fijian. They sat him on the chair and he just slumped all over the chair. He wasn't with it. In front of 900 people, the senior pastor makes an announcement that he's going to hand the microphone to Brother Rodney and he's going to pray the prayer of faith for this man to be healed. When he spoke that out, the Holy Spirit said to me, "No, you're not." "What?" "No, I don't want you to pray for that man." "Well, what do you want me to do?" "You hand the microphone back to the pastor. You tell him to pray, and while he's praying the prayer of faith, I want you just to stand where you are, lock your eyes on this sick man, and impart all the healing that you know how." So now I've got a decision to make. Do I defy the pastor in front of 900 people, or do I obey God? So, as nice as I could, I said, "Sorry, pastor, but the Holy Spirit said that you should pray." And I told him what I was going to do. He graciously took the microphone back and he prayed. And as he prayed, I just stood about the same distance from me to that sister away, and I just locked my eyes onto this man's sick body, and I imparted all the healing that I knew how according to what the Lord had just said to me. And when he finished praying, the first thing we noticed, we literally saw with our eyes the color come back into this man's face from the chin up. You just saw his skin change color. And when it got up to the top here, suddenly the man, he opened his eyes, he shook his head, he looked around to see where he was, and then he stood up and he began to march backwards and forwards across the front of this church. Well, the whole place went ballistic. It's the only way I can describe it. When people saw an instant miracle of healing before their eyes. I mean, the faith just went from here to there, just like that. The whole place was electric and alive, you know, and people went home from that meeting with a story to share. See what I'm saying? But I'm simple enough to believe that if I had have just glibly said, "Oh, well, thank you, and I'll just do the traditional thing, you know, and so on," most likely nothing would have happened. You see, God's all the time trying to stretch our faith. He's trying to show us a better way of doing things. Don't get locked into a mindset, well, it worked that way before, it's going to work this way again. It may not work that way again. It's about our listening to what God is saying to us and to be available. Okay? Before I came down to this meeting this morning, I got a picture of somebody that's got a condition in your knee, and it's affecting both sides of your knee. Anyone here with that condition like to stand up, please? Just stand up. Okay, there's three people. Just stay standing up. Just can half a dozen people just gather around these ones standing and put your hands on them. I'll pray, and as I pray, I want you to lay your hands on these people, those that are gathered around, and you just impart faithful healing into this condition. Are you ready? In the name of Jesus, Lord, as hands are laid upon these people with this knee condition, I rebuke the condition, I rebuke the symptoms, and I command healing to flow into these ligaments, into these joints, into the affected areas, that there will be freedom, wholeness, and healing in the name of Jesus and for the glory of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Good. Now as we go through the day, those of you that's been prayed for, test yourselves. See how you're doing. And let us keep us informed. There's someone else in here that's having problems with your shoulders. You got shoulder problems? Just stand up. God, we need healing before we start healing others, don't we? Again, some of you just stretch out. Get involved, folks. Don't be a passive witness here. Get involved. Step out. It may be your gift of faith. It may be your hand, your impartation that God uses to bring healing into these affected shoulders. In the name of Jesus. Lord, as hands are laid upon these affected shoulders, I rebuke the conditions. We command healing to flow in the name of Jesus, that there shall be deliverance to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, I declare to these shoulders, come into divine order to the glory of God. And everybody said,
Amen.
Yes, let's give Jesus a clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I don't know about you folks, but when I've been privileged to travel into some of these nations that are just so much poorer than us, the faith level of the Christians there is just so much higher than ours. We have got a problem in this area of believing and faith, and we need to challenge ourselves about it. We accept things are not working too often. You hear what I'm saying? And we need to rise to the challenge. I'm over the line.
Thank you, man.
But this book would be the Bible would be a very thin Bible if we removed all the healing examples, teachings, scriptures out of it. You see, Jesus came to do the Father's will. And Jesus spent most of his public ministry ministering to people, making them whole. In fact, John says that everything that Jesus did, if it were written in a book, the world could not contain the books. That is awesome, folks. Jesus' whole life in public ministry was always in touching people and making people whole. And the only thing, coming back to my book again, why I recommend it is because I put a lot of time into this so you can get the benefits. But I have tried to bring together all the healing scriptures in a walk through the Bible. And in my studying of the subject, there are only three things that I can find that prevented healing in the scripture. And they are all connected. Doubt, unbelief, hardness of heart. Doubt leads to unbelief. Unbelief leads to hardness of heart. Those are the three things that will stop you and me from being used more by God in the healing ministry. Jesus wants us to be an extension of his heart, his hands, his mouth, his ministry. But we got to believe that, friends. It's no use saying, well, look, I'm not worthy. Who am I? What can I do? God has made you worthy. He's called you. He's invested in us. He's given us the commission that we should go out into all the world and to preach the gospel, to heal the sick. I mean, most of these things didn't happen within the confinements of an all-Christian gathering like this. You think for a moment the Apostle Paul is a prisoner on a ship. He has a word from the Lord. They shouldn't sail any further. They totally ignore the word of the Lord. And they set sail out there into a cyclone. And poor old Paul's on the boat. So he has to go through what they brought about. And they finish up totally shipwrecked, wet, cold, on a miserable night in front of this big fire on an island full of strange people. Not a very faith-building, inspiring situation. I mean, they just hadn't sat under 45 minutes of anointed faith-building word in church. And you know the story, how as they're gathering sticks, this poisonous snake comes out of the fire, latches onto Paul, and Paul just shakes the thing off, and everybody thinks this guy's got a curse of God on his life, and they're waiting for the guy to die. You know, you must say, what are you staring at? You know, because they're superstitions and that all said, he's going to die. There's a curse on his life. Well, he didn't die. And there wasn't a curse on his life. And so they quickly changed their mind. And somebody said, would you pray for the sick chief man on the island? Sure. So he prays for him. And the Bible says Paul laid his hands on him and healed him. And the man was healed. And as a result of that, all over the island, sick people came for Paul to pray for and to heal. And Paul's a prisoner. The circumstances are totally contrary to what we think would be a good environment for healing the sick. You see, it's not about the environment, friends. It's what's inside of us. Paul knew he carried an anointing, authority, a commission, a command. He carried the heart of God, that God wanted him to be involved in making humanity whole. Amen? And as a result of that, people come and people get healed and people come to Christ. And that's why the healing ministry is so important. It gives people a demonstration that we're not just talking about theories. We have something that works. A message that backs up that Jesus Christ is alive today and he's alive in our hearts. And we are able to take his commission, his healing power to the nations. And so as I was saying before, you go to poor nations, these people have nothing. I've been in places where the villagers have come and they just say, look, my little child is sick. I cannot afford a doctor. If God doesn't answer our prayers, he dies. They pray, God answers their prayer. We have got everything. We get sick. We don't call for prayer. We go to the doctor. You know, we're great men and women of faith, aren't we? faith in the pill cupboard. And so on. You see, whereas if you've got nothing, friends, these people have a faith. I'll never forget the first miracle of healing that Jean and I witnessed when we went to Fiji for the first time. We were at a place called Singatoka. We were in bed. And there's a knock on the door. And on the door, at that door was Sister Elizabeth. And she brought her 17-year-old son, who's now a pastor in Tongariro. And she's standing at the door in the middle of the night, and she said, "Brother, God told me," she lived way out in the village, she had to find a carrier to bring her in those 17 miles or so to town. She said, "God spoke to me and said, if I bring my boy to you for prayer, God will heal him while we stand and look at him." Well, I didn't have that kind of faith, I tell you. It challenges you when you just are standing in front of somebody that's got this kind of faith, and you're supposed to be the man of faith, and you feel you've got no faith. Because we don't get confronted with that kind of thing. What was the problem? This poor son of hers had a big boil on the shin that the head had turned inwards, and it wouldn't break. And he was in agony. I mean, he was crying with the pain. And Elizabeth says, "God said that if you will pray, we will watch this head of this ingrown boil turn around. It will come to the head, it'll burst, and the stuff will run down his leg." We saw all that happen within 30 minutes of praying for that boil. You know, and I know that God was challenging me. Wasn't my faith, was her faith. She acted on her faith. She had to make sacrifices in the middle of the night to go because she believed God told her to do that. And God honored her faith, and her son was healed. You know, when you see that sort of thing happening before your eyes, it's like, wow, God, and it makes you feel challenged that you need to do something about your faith. Because we all do need more faith here in New Zealand, don't we? Well, God's arranging it because of the circumstances going on in the nation now. You're going to have more faith to survive. Okay? Things are getting tough. And this is the time for the true Christians to stand up and to be able to demonstrate, "My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. So folks, you never know the next word from God to you, what kind of a miracle it's going to bring. It only takes one word from God. And so our challenge is that we need to be tuned in. We need to be spiritually perceptive. Don't get into the trap that God only speaks to you one way. God wants to speak to us in all different kinds of ways so we can have the joy of recognizing his voice in whatever way it comes to us. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." I'll do the coughing, thank you. Oh, I've imparted something. Come out the lot of you. You know, we need to be able to impart this healing into the lives of other people and so on. Ready to take the initiative instead of standing back and passively, "Oh God, what do you want to do? If it be your will," and so on. There's a challenge for us here. Challenge. Do we really believe that the Bible teaches us that divine healing is God's will? If we really believe that, what are we doing about it? Are we stepping out and praying for sick people? Are we making ourselves available for God to speak to us and tell us what to do? And during this conference, I'm sure John is going to take us into some practical outworkings. I like to do a bit of experimenting. And I'm just thinking, when I was on one of my trips in Italy, in a place called Turin, or Torino, and I did an experiment in the meeting, and I said, "Now, we're going to do this afternoon, so come prepared." I said, I want you now just to listen to the Holy Spirit and ask him to reveal to you a physical need in this meeting today, so that you can listen to the Holy Spirit to tell you of a physical need that's here in this conference. And so we got the people to do this, just got them to quietly wait on the Lord for a little bit, and I just said, has anybody got something? His hand went up, so I said, come out and share it. And this person came out the front, and it's all done through interpreter, and he stands there and he describes in details about somebody's intestines, and he starts over the side and he's slowly working through and describing all of these complaints, and then it changes over here and there's other organs or something that's got this, that. Now I'm standing there cringing and I think, oh, I've really put my foot in it this time, you know. And then he got to the end of it, so I thought, oh, well, okay. Is anybody here identify with what this man's just said? Could you stand up? Four people stood up. My unbelief, I mean, that was incredible. You know, and it was just great because they were catching a hold of this and people were getting healed as a result of discerning needs within the body. Okay? There's a whole lot of different ways, I believe, that divine healing can be administered to by us. And we need to find out just the way that God wants you to operate. Listen to God, because you'll want to extend that. Help us to keep creative. Don't get traditional and that kind of thing where we're just doing the same things the same way all the time. I believe the Holy Spirit is very creative. He's original. And he knows the key to unlock people's lives. Amen?
Amen?
And he wants to share that key with us so that we can have the joy of just turning that key and seeing people released to the glory of God. So we must believe that healing is part of the Word of God, the will of God for our life. Secondly, we know Jesus has commissioned us to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That means we need to be doing it. We need to be getting actively involved. That means that we need to be able to take the initiative and just say, look, can I pray for you? And so on like that. And it's just wonderful when you have a word of knowledge on somebody's problem and you're able to just say, look, I'm just sensing that you've got this problem you're battling with in your life. Does this make sense to you? And people are like, wow, I've never told another soul about this thing I've been struggling with, and you put your finger right on it, you know? And so we can have that kind of joy of just hearing from the Holy Spirit and listening to what he's saying, right?